If you would open your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin there in just a few moments. Right before services, Brother Kevin Bumgarner showed me a text, and it was from Gary Kerr. Everyone knows Gary Kerr, he's been around the area. He used to preach in Jackson for several years. And we've announced a few times, you know, his wife has Susan Kerr, and she has cancer. And this cancer has overwhelmed and ravaged her body. And they're to the point now where they're saying she thinks she just has a few days left to live on this earth. And when I was reading that, inside of that, he said, her faith remains strong. And that kind of pretty much is what my sermon's about. And that's growing in Christ. Growing to a point where when something does happen in this life, to our bodies, or to our loved ones' bodies, or something happens to us in this world, that our faith will remain strong. In 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please open your Bibles there. In verse 2, Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." These are beautiful verses that Peter gives us. And notice that verses 2, 3, and 4, the exhortation that Peter gives us is based upon God's grace. Okay, and so we need to remember that God is the source. God is the source of these things. Notice that it says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us these wonderful things. His grace has caused Him to send Jesus Christ into the world. We all know John 3:16. You know, Romans 5 and verse 8 talks about the great love that He had for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His grace has been extended to all men. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. His grace is for all. It's not just for certain people. It is for all men. And His grace provides us all that pertains then to life and godliness. God made it possible then for us to become partakers of the divine nature. Okay, I want you, it's hard for us to really grasp what that means, but he says that in verse 4. This does not mean that he makes it possible for us to become gods. Okay, when he says to partake of the divine nature, that's not what he's talking about. But we may possess personal character traits like those of God. We can have the same traits that God has. We can partake of that holiness by letting Christ dwell in us. Life and godliness are given through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. We can be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Wonderful things that God has given us. But I want to think about the things that we read in verses 5 through 11 this morning. And I want to begin by telling you that God wants us, and I thought about changing this, and I didn't have time to do it, but God expects us to grow. Not only does God want us to grow once we become Christians, He expects us to grow. We must understand, and Peter tells us this in verse 5, beginning, and he's telling us what to do, but we must realize that faith is the foundation of everything. Okay, of our growth as a Christian, it's all based upon faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 kind of tells us the definition, the Bible definition of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. He says simply, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Or some translation may be the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God," if you're going to come to God, it's going to be, first of all, based upon faith. "He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Or a reward of those who seek after Him. So we must remember that faith is the foundation of everything, of coming to God. Okay, it all begins with faith. Faith is also the motivation for us. It should be the motivation for us to want to grow because of our faith in God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 7, it's a real small verse. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. But it simply says this: "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul said this: "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." He says, the life that I now live, I live by faith. There's His motivation to keep going, to live, to grow, okay, to keep pressing on. His faith in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul, everywhere he went, he preached about faith in Christ Jesus. Having that faith. Faith is the foundation and faith is the motivation for us to grow. God wants us, He expects us to grow. And faith should grow and be fruitful. We've already read verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want us to think about then the fact that God wants us to grow. He expects us to grow as being Christians. God wants us to add to our faith. If you go back now to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, let's read these verses 5 through 8 again. "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control or temperance. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they neither render you useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These traits of the Christian character must be added on our part. It is because we are partakers then of the divine natures we talked about in verses 3 and 4. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we must strive to make these character traits a part of our personality. As we've already stated, that faith is the foundation of a Christian personality. It's our foundation. We have received all spiritual blessings. Therefore, we are obligated to Him for our very existence. These character traits, these are something that are just not given to us automatically. When you become a Christian, God doesn't automatically zap these traits into our lives. He wants us to grow in our lives. And so we must add these things to us. Notice what he says. First, he says that faith, verse 5, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, then supply moral excellence. That word supply there, it is intended to be used before each and every one of these. Okay? In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, supply knowledge. And in your knowledge, supply self-control. And on and on. That's the way God intended for these to be added to us. We all know what faith is, right? Faith is this conviction, this strong assurance that we have. When we become a Christian, we do it based upon faith in Jesus Christ. It's not anything that we do on our own to earn salvation. It's all because we have faith in what God has done for us, our faith in Jesus Christ. But he says you are to add to your faith then, supply your faith, virtue or moral excellence. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? You ever thought about that? That's always been hard for me to feel. One says, well, you need to add to your faith then moral excellence. Goodness. It comes from words that actually literally mean courage and soul vigor to do that which is right. Think about that. That's what God wants us to do. We want to have faith in God. We want to have faith in Jesus Christ. And so that faith, and we're to add to that then this moral excellence, this virtue, this goodness, this courage to do that which is right. That's what it's saying. We've got to have the courage to act, to do. And so then he says, once you have that courage, then you've got to know the right thing to do. So then you add to your courage or to your virtue, you add knowledge to that. You see how that works? You see how it's going to be, they're building on each other. You have the virtue, you have the courage to do that which is right. Well, you got to know what it is. You got to know what that is, right? And so that's where the knowledge comes in. That knowledge means correct insight. Correct insight. One man said it's the correct insight to identify evil. See, you want to have faith in Christ, right? You made the commitment that you're going to be a Christian the rest of your life. Okay? And so that commitment says, I'm going to add to my faith then virtue or this courage to do the right thing, this moral excellence. Well, then the knowledge then is to tell me the correct insight, so I can stay away from those things that are wrong. You see, you've got to build on these things. Once you become a Christian, if you just sit back and don't do anything and you don't grow, then guess what? You're not going to be doing the things that God wants you to do. You're not going to know the right things to do. So you've got to add to these things. Add to this virtue. Add knowledge to that. Well, then what happens then when we add knowledge to these things? Well, then the more knowledge that we get, it's going to develop into us self-control or temperance. Okay, temperance or self-control. Now, this idea of self-control is self-discipline. It comes from a word that literally means one who holds himself in. What do you think about that? One who holds himself in. You know when we get in trouble? When we get in trouble in this world is when we don't hold ourselves in. Jeb was reading this morning to us, and you remember what the reading was? You remember what Paul was telling Felix? He was reasoning to him about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. You see, you can know the right things. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you do not have self-control, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Self-control. You're not going to be productive in God's work if you do not have self-discipline or self-control. That's very important. And so Peter is telling us, okay, once you have faith, once you become a Christian, once you get the courage then to do the right thing, moral excellence, I want to live morally excellent. And once you get the knowledge then to know the right things to do and to what to avoid and what to stay away from, then you've got to develop self-control. You've got to develop that self-control in there so you can live out the things you know that are right. You see, the problem is with most of us, isn't it? We know the right things. We know the right things to do. We know all. We have the knowledge, but we don't have the self-control. Many people have fallen away because they didn't have self-control. He goes on to say then, after this temperance or self-control, notice that he says after that, add to that or supply to that patience. Okay, a better translation of that would be perseverance or endurance. This gives the idea of bearing up under trials. Bearing up under trials. Endurance. One man said this is positive resistance to evil. Bearing up under them. Under the trials of life that happen. Brethren, all of us, if we've lived long enough at all, we realize that there are trials of life that are going to come upon us. Whether it's a sickness, whether it's death, whether it's a loss of a job, the loss of loved ones, relationships, things that happen. And most of the time, sometimes we bring it upon ourselves because we don't have self-control. Okay, and there may be other things from externally we can't do anything about. But yet because we're associated with them, we have to deal with them. There are many things that we have to bear up under. And what he's saying is that we're to add to our self-control then this perseverance, this bearing up under trials. Why do so many give up? Why do so many just fall away? It's because they don't have endurance. They've not trained themselves to the point where they're following these things that God has given us. They never added to their faith. Or if they did, they may have gotten to say, well, okay, I'm going to do that which is right. I want to be morally excellent and all that. But then they didn't learn the knowledge. They didn't learn what they needed to know in order to be right. Or if they knew the right things, then they never practiced them. And they never taught themselves self-discipline or self-control. They just live life the way they wanted to live it. And guess what? When hard times hit, they don't have endurance. Keep going back to that text I saw this morning. Her faith is still strong. She's only going to be... She's only going to be able to make it a few more days here upon this earth, but her faith is strong. And the faith of the family is strong. See, that tells me that somebody was adding to their faith along the way. So when hard times hit, they know who to turn to. They know where to go. And they know who not to give up on. I didn't read anything in that text about blaming God for something. Why is God taking her away? Why is God doing this? Sometimes we think things like that, don't we? But yet we need to realize God loves us. And that takes us going to go back to our faith and adding to our faith that God loves us and cares for us. But once we learn this perseverance and we are adding to that, then he says, you add to that or supply to that godliness. This is godly character out of devotion to God. Should be the motive from which all of our actions originate. Isn't it something? You see some people out in the world sometimes and they may get hit with disaster, right? They may get hit with something and they persevere and they carry on. But you know what? They don't turn to God. You see, they didn't understand that all of these things are intended for us to become more like God. That's what it's all about for us. It's all about godliness. And see, that's tragic, isn't it? But all of these things are to lead us to God, godly character. And then he says, add to godliness then brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is just the love toward the brethren. That word Philadelphia that we talk about, brotherly love, right? The city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. But that is what it's to lead us to. And brethren, once again, it's not something that you're just going to automatically know how to do. It's something we've got to work on. And that goes back to kind of what we talked about some Wednesday night, learning each other and knowing each other and caring for each other and doing these things. And then finally, that brotherly love then, it leads us to a point that we want to show love to all. Okay, goodwill towards all men. Active goodwill. And that's this love, the crown jewel, isn't it? Remember what Paul says? These three abide, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. Colossians 3 and verse 14, he says, above all, put on love. That's it, isn't it? That's the key. That's the crowning jewel for all of us. Brethren, these personality traits are not bestowed upon us in some miraculous way. But we must give diligence to add them to our faith. These are so important for us, brethren, to work on these things. God expects us to grow. He expects us to keep pressing on. But brethren, let me tell you, there's benefits to it. There are benefits to doing this. Look at what they are. The results of these things, number one, is that you will be useful and fruitful. You will be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be. Look at verse 8 again. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, that means, brethren, that you have these things and you're working on them. No one's ever going to be perfect at all these things. You're not going to always have perfect, total self-control in every little thing or every little aspect. You're going to have to work on these things, right? You're not going to have perseverance and endurance in everything and always be perfect. Paul had to continue to work on it. If he had to work on it, then we know we got to keep working, right? But we've got to keep working and increasing these things. Notice what it says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, if you lack these qualities, you're blind and short-sighted. Listen, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. You know what he's saying there? You forgot that you got forgiveness of your sins and you're going back into it. That's what it's saying. You see, brethren, when people fall away, it's because they're not practicing the things that God told us to practice.
One of the benefits is that if you want to be a useful, fruitful Christian, then you're going to work on these things. You're going to work on these things and add to these things. Number two, the second benefit is found in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You will never fall. You want to keep from falling away, brethren? Someone says, oh, I'm worried about leaving the faith. I'm worried about falling away. Well, brethren, practice these things, and the promise from God is you will never stumble. You will never fall. Does that say you're never going to sin? He didn't say that. But guess what? The Bible says when we sin, if we turn back to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us. You keep practicing the things that God told you to practice, and that's how we can have that blessed assurance. The blessed assurance that comes from doing what God says. Will keep us from falling. And the third thing is found in verse 11. He says, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. All that whole verse 11, you know what he's saying? We can have heaven. And we're not going to barely eke in and squeak into heaven. You know, we're just going, oh, if we get in the back door. He says it's going to be abundantly supplied to you. If these things are yours and are increasing. You see, God's given us what we need to do in order to grow. There are things, it's not rocket science as we talk about some. It's just basically adding to our faith. It's just doing what God wants us to do. And brethren, it's more than just talking, isn't it? I want to share with you a little poem as we're about to close this morning. The title of the poem is, you probably heard it before, I'd Rather See a Sermon. Edgar Guest. He said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are those who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it, if you will let me see it done. I can catch your hand in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may understand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. When I see an act of kindness, I'm eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a stronger stays behind, just to see if he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to be as big and thoughtful as I know that friend to be. And all travelers can witness that the best of guides today are not the ones that tell them, but the one that shows the way. One good man teaches, many men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noticed is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honor learns to hold his honor dear, for right speaks a language that to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charms me with his eloquence, I say I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. Let us all live it out in our lives. That's what the Christian life is about. It's not about just saying the right things. It's doing those things. It's adding to our faith. It's growing as a Christian. Are you trying to add these traits to your life, to your faith? The results, the benefits are tremendous. Let's turn. Let's do what we need to do in order to grow and be a Christian.
you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, I hope and pray that you will think about, first of all, faith in Jesus Christ and making your commitment to Him, to live for Him the rest of your life. And then once you obey and become a Christian, then you start adding and you grow every day. That's the way that you will receive the wonderful benefits and ultimately be in heaven with Him. What will your answer be? Please come while we stand and sing.